Are you looking to keep up with key trends in the marketplace? Are you striving to maintain your competitive edge at work? Looking for a career change but unsure about your next move? The Skillsharp podcast is here to help you. Join industry insiders Brian, Todd, and Mike, who will guide you through new strategies for career success.
Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Skillsharp the Podcast. At Podcast Skill to always stay sharp.
Skillsharp, the podcast, where your industry insiders, Todd Nakasone, Brian Wright, and I discuss topics to help empower your career strategies and success. Today, we're joined by career resource specialist, Dr. Chaz Austin, Doctor of Education, works with private clients around the world. And since 2017, he has taught free courses at Los Angeles Pierce College that prepare people to self-market for the gig economy. His most recent book, which is used as a textbook in his courses, is 101 Ways to Find Work and Keep Finding Work for the Rest of Your Career. He created and teaches three courses for LinkedIn Learning, which are titled Creating a Career Plan, Succeeding in a New Job, and Transitioning Out of Your Job. Dr. Chaz invites you to connect with him on LinkedIn, where he has over 30,000 followers. Dr. Chaz, welcome to Skillsharp, the podcast.
Thank you. Good to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
It's a pleasure. It's our pleasure indeed. So, did a little reading in your book, and I'd like for you to tell our listeners a little bit more about your background, if you please.
I've been evangelizing about, as it says in my LinkedIn profile in the headline, training people to self-market for the gig economy for many years. We are in the gig economy, like it or not, and I can explain what that is if people need to know. But the old corporate loyalty and dedication, it's gone. Companies will replace you with a robot if they possibly can. So you have to look at it as you're essentially on your own, going after that job that's going to last for decades, and you're going to move up the corporate ladder, and you're going to be rewarded with a gold watch at the end and a pension. That's over. They don't even want to pay health insurance anymore. So you're on your own, but what replaces that corporate structure is now a network of people who have a sense of what it is you do. So what I train people to do, both in my courses and individually for clients, is to define what your brand is, learn to articulate it, and then sell it. And what you have to realize, like it or not, and I don't care if my clients and students like it, okay, you have to learn to self-market. And this is something you're going to need to do for the rest of your life, regardless of whatever career you happen to be in.
Well, Dr. Chaz, your answer was a great answer, by the way. But what that made me think about is that there seems to be quite a bit of planning that needs to be done for an individual to go from, point A to point B in his or her career journey. So how does someone go about developing a career plan?
My quick answer, and this is funny because it sounds like I'm selling something, but I'm not. The courses I teach for Pierce College in Los Angeles, they are free. So I'm happy to work with people anywhere in the world to help them to plan what it is they're going to do. And one of the things we utilize, business normally utilizes this, but my contention is that basically everyone is now their own business, like it or not, and their own brand. And businesses traditionally use what's called a SWOT analysis. Strengths used to be called weaknesses, but I call it what's missing. That's who you are. That's the top two quadrants. And the bottom two quadrants on the SWOT analysis are opportunities and threats. That's the marketplace. So we look at what's your passion and can you monetize it? And that's critical. Monetizable passion is a term I made up. Just because you love something doesn't mean you can make a living at it. So like any business, you have to be smart. It's something I love to do, but I can't make a living at it. So that's a hobby where it might be something, say, for example, let's say you like to paint in oil. Yes, but you can't make sustain a career as a painter. So you do things aligned to that. Like maybe you get an MFA and you teach art, or you do graphic design and you do graphic design. Whatever, like any business, how many different ways can you derive revenue from your core skills? And is there a market for it? That's what you have to be smart about. So I train people in all that in the courses. And fortunately, Pierce College gets a grant from the state of California, so we can offer them for free. So I just actually finished we have a group session every week. We just had a group session. Then I'm going to meet with people individually. And I've got people now applying to be in the course, actually registering for the course. There's no application process, from India, from Canada, and from Australia. So I'm happy to work with people. But it is a training. I'm a career trainer because I'm training people to do something that is usually new for them and they're not comfortable with. Most people go to school and I have a degree in chemistry and I'm a chemist. And you're also in sales. No. Yes, you're in sales. So I have to, it's shifting their mindset. It's creating a marketing sensibility in people, and that takes a while to develop. You don't change your habits overnight. But after a while, like it or not, you do get it, and you become someone who's constantly marketing themselves to people who need the things that you offer.
Describe the stamina that people are going to need to have, and maybe a month out, maybe a couple of weeks out, have to market themselves for that next job. And that continuous cycle, how do people build up their stamina to be successful at that?
First of all, let's get away from the concept of job and let's look at work. Yes, that what you're doing is going after that kind of 20th century model of I'm going to get a full-time job with benefits. That's going away if it's not already gone in every industry. So look at it in terms of work. I created something called the multiple income streams approach. This is all in my courses and in my books. Imagine the spokes in a wheel, a wagon wheel. The center of the wheel is your brand. So for me, it's career trainer. And the spokes coming out from the center are the different ways I can derive revenue. And that's a model that whether you know it or not, everyone's getting to. So the sooner they can do that, the better. So you first operate, what is it I do? What is it I offer? How do I define that? And who's the audience? How many different clients can I get? How much work can I get? Short term, long term, 2 weeks here, 2 days there, 2 months there, 2 years there. And I've always got money coming in. So I'm no longer dependent on that one company that will replace me in a minute if they can find somebody from overseas who can do it cheaper, or a robot who's never going to ask for health insurance or vacation time or come in late. Robot doesn't work, throw it away, get a new one. This is what we're up against. So the mindset is, again, the marketing sensibility, you're always selling. You have two jobs, whatever it is you do, and constantly selling, like it or not. We learned how to use smartphones. You can learn how to market yourself. It's what you do now.
The stamina to be able to do that is, I think, an additional question, because sometimes people feel that, you know, I know who I know, you know, I'm obviously sharing what I do, but how do they kind of get into the mode of being able to expand that to continuously string together gigs like you're describing?
That's what I just came off of, was a group session with one of my courses, that you set up a ongoing support group. And that's what it's become. That's what the course has become. It's a support group for people. And what we did was we went around the screen, the room, yes, and everyone did their soundbite. Yeah, so you have a clear sense, you could articulate, this is what I do, this is what I'm looking for. And then everyone did progress reports. What have you done since last week to move things forward? It's all about accomplishment. It's not about thinking about it or talking about it. What did you do to make something happen to move it forward? And people encourage each other. So it really is a support group. And we had people do things and the rest of the class applauded, and they were going to do one-on-one meetings with me this coming week, and then we'll meet again next Friday. So you get other people to support you, to have a sense of what it is you offer, and they can help. And I can see this in the class. People, oh, you want to work there? I know somebody. Oh, have you thought of this? Have you thought of that? So it starts to become a habit. And you just, that's it. You develop the stamina because that's what you have to do.
Hey, Dr. Chaz, I had a question also too, kind of talking about after you develop or create your SWOT analysis, how do you take that then to develop your brand, i.e. your sound bites, your elevator pitch, and how you take that to the market?
They're all tied together. The first thing we do in the SWOT analysis is you write down what your strengths are, your assets, because that's what you're selling. And that bleeds right into the sound bite. And the sound bite tells you who your audience is and who you need to go after. Real simple. So mine is, I use myself as an example, training people to self-market for the gig economy. Good. So who would need that? Well, so my target markets, and I talk about target markets or target audiences a lot. Who would be interested in what I do? People in higher ed, high school counselors, college counselors, career counselors, people who are unemployed. If you go to LinkedIn, I'm a huge believer, obviously, that's now over 31,000 followers on LinkedIn, huge believer in social media, particularly since we're locked in, yes? So I find groups, and some of my target audiences are now people who list themselves as unemployed, looking for work, seeking next opportunity. And we're talking about millions and millions of people who can benefit from my free courses, my one-on-one coaching, which they pay for, and my books and my LinkedIn courses. So that's true. I'm doing what I tell all my students and clients to do. I've just done it a little longer. It's a natural flow. It's holistic. The assets leads to, well, let me back up a second. Strengths and what used to be called weaknesses, I call what's missing. So we have one student who joined us in the course today. She said, my short-term goal is to be a medical assistant. My long-term goal is to be an RN. So what's missing for her is the degree which would allow her to be an RN. I don't care how good you are with people. You have to have the degree. Yeah. So what's missing moves into a strength. If you want to do that badly enough, you move it from here to there. I wanted to teach at the university level. I didn't have a doctorate. That was what's missing. I got a doctorate, and then I was teaching at the university level. It can be that simple. And what I find for everyone, if you want it badly enough, you'll do whatever it takes. If it's really something you're committed to, you'll push through whatever you need to push through. But then we've got the bottom of the SWOT chart is, does it make sense financially? Can you monetize it? It's great that you want to do that, but if nobody's buying it, don't waste your time or money. You're going to have to put that on the back burner, maybe for the future or maybe for never. And it's just something. So go volunteer at a hospital if they're not hiring. Okay. Becomes a hobby.
Yeah. Cause you could take your hobby and possibly make or monetize it. I think one of the examples in your book about the drummer, and he was also a basketball player, being 6 foot, little vertically challenged for the NBA. He decided to make drumming his career. Right. And I was able to monetize it that way. But yeah, for somebody like who wants to be gravitate towards a nurse, it's not only for the gig economy, but something, you know, to work for a hospital on their own. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's definitely both for the gig economy and, you know, the current job market.
I'd like us to dig into that a little bit more by going back to passion in general. And Dr. Chaz, being in recruitment for as long as I have been, there are individuals who have been in a certain career or for many, many years or at a certain stage in their life. And these individuals have challenges actually figuring out a passion or passions. Talk to us about, you know, what are some of the processes someone can go through at any stage in their career to hone in on, you know, what makes them tick.
I've worked with people from ages now 14 to 85, and it's astounding the similarities in age, gender, background, education, and industry. Everybody's going through in many ways the same thing regardless. So when I work with people, the first thing we have to determine, if you've been working in an industry, for example, that's dying out. And I've, as an example, one of my students has worked in the printing industry, not a growth industry. So she needs to move. She does customer service. She has over 10 years experience. So how can she take those skills in knowing how to work with people and dealing with difficult customers and resolving issues, et cetera, into another field. Customer service is customer service. Printing is not growing particularly. If you've been a coal miner for years, that's not growing. Manufacturing, that's not growing. This is not marriage here. This is not something you're going to be doing for the rest of your life. Millennials will have 7 or 8 careers, not just jobs. And older people now have to realize they're going to keep moving. Yeah, it's not this the traditional, this is what I do and I'll do it forever. No, you have to be flexible. I'm going to shift now. This industry's dying. What can I get into? Let's see. Oh, the cannabis industry. That's a growth industry. The green industry. Healthcare. How can I take what I've done and go into the new field? And this is not your parents' advice where they look in the Wall Street Journal and go, oh, they're hiring in finance. You should go into finance. I have no ability with numbers at all, Mom. Thanks. I love you a lot, but that's not where it's going. Your career is not necessarily the thing you absolutely love to do. Sometimes it's something that you can live with, that's going to make a living that pays for whatever else it is that you really love. I had a girlfriend years ago who worked at Nielsen Media. She was a vice president. When I met her, she'd been there 20, 30 years. I said, oh, your career? She said, no, it's my job. My passion is my horse. The job pays for the horse. Different way to think about it. Okay, college students, I'm going to find out what I absolutely love. Get to work. Yeah, you may not absolutely love it. And in 5 years, that industry is going to be gone. Or that company that you work for, that you've always dreamed of working for, they're going to be gone, having been absorbed by another company. So just get to work, do something that you really like, can live with, maybe love, but know that in 10 years, you'll be probably doing something entirely different. I've had 7 or 8 careers. I'm unusual for a baby boomer. But you keep moving forward, and I'll be a college professor as long as I'm a college professor until they replace me with a robot, which they want to do, certainly long term. Accountants taking over everything, right? How do we save money? So I have to look at what's next, what's next, what's next. It's not the best feeling in the world. Everyone would like that stability. Sorry, I would like hair. Not gonna happen.
So don't wait around. Don't wait around until you get that epiphany of what your passion is.
Yeah.
You wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, you hear the angels chorus. I'm supposed to be this. No, just go ahead and get to work. Find something that you can do, something that's valuable to other people, and that could in turn lead you to what your passion may be.
Yes.
Dr. Chaz, I have a question for you, and I'm sure you've been exposed to, obviously, our union population. I guess first the statement, I feel like they really got into the mindset that, you're describing, but not in the best way, to where they obviously were organizing their union members around certain systems, technology. We called them boxes when I worked in television. And the challenge with that is they weren't always in a mindset of evolving with that technology. And so when a new agreement would come up or the business had to switch to a new technology, you literally had people become obsolete. And so, did you also kind of see some of those trends and how potentially the union population wasn't served well by that oversight?
I love unions. I'm so glad they've been there, and their popularity has gone down markedly in the last few years. In some cases, they overreached. I'd love them to come back. The problem is, where are the jobs? I'm part of the union, but we have no work for you. So what? So that's great that you're part of the union. If and when you can get jobs, if and when they don't outsource them to people in other countries or replace you with a robot, may you be lucky enough to join a union, one, and two, may there be jobs there once you're in the union that will sustain over time. I worked in television too. I have a master's in television, and I worked in network television production. There's nothing going on. And I have so many people that I'm connected to on LinkedIn. I work in the entertainment industry. There is no entertainment industry now. What else are you going to do? Okay. Because maybe like me, you're addicted to eating. You got to find something to do. Yeah. How do you take what it is that you can do and port it to something else? I work with a lot of people in the entertainment industry. And a lot of them, they're dealing with this issue and problem of there's no work for me. What can I do? And that's where we look at the strengths. And people are not used to doing this. So we keep working together over time. It's a training. And we start to notice strengths they didn't realize they had. Oh, I could sell that. I could market that. That's something people would pay for. And I do want to point out, bottom line is not money, believe it or not. That's the hook. That's to get people interested. Yeah, when I do this live, I do a big dollar sign on the board. So people are like, oh, money, that's what I want. That's what I'm here for. Ultimately, it's more than that. It's about the concept of contribution. That all of us have specific skills and talents that other people need. And that's really what we're aiming for beyond the money, is that you can make a positive contribution. One of my favorite quotes, Muhammad Ali said, service is the rent you pay for your room here on earth. And I truly believe that. And it's beyond, yes, I wish the career, I wish on everybody the career that I am, where you're doing work that's useful, that helps people, and you're making a lot of money. Yes, but ultimately it really is about the contribution. It's not about the money. That's a little benefit. So if you can look beyond that, it's always looking beyond. It's not about the college education. It's what that will bring you in terms of credibility and contacts so that you can move to the next level in your career. So when this woman gets her RN after she's been a medical assistant and she goes to school and she gets her RN, it's not about, I have my RN, yay, look at me, aren't I wonderful? No, it's what the RN permits you to do to save people's lives and give them comfort and solace. That's why you're doing this, right? Yeah, actually it is. And they pay me real well too. Good for you, okay? But ultimately you're saving lives. You're doing some good in the world. And that's, I think, why we're here.
Humanity, which I mean, I love that you, that's gonna stick in my head for—
In my, when I show a power, I have a PowerPoint on Canvas, which we're now doing it online on Canvas and Zoom. But when I do the course live, that's the first thing I show is the PowerPoint. And the last quote is that quote from Muhammad Ali. After all is said and done, what good can we do in the world? That's why we're here. And you figure out what talents you have. So you push through whatever you have to push through, whatever fears you have. Oh, I'm not good in school. I can't afford it. No, I need to do this because other people need me. It's not about me. It's about what I can do for other people. So whatever's stopping you, I'm doing this. This is going to happen. So it's almost like you can walk through walls. I'm going to do it because other people need what I got. Whatever it happens to be, if it's customer service, being a nurse, career training, anything, you're doing good in the world. You're improving people's lives. And that's why we're here. That's what matters.
So Dr. Chaz, I know in the book you had talked about taking an inventory of your skills and kind of see how you can move that forward. Let's say for me, I started out in finance and accounting. I was a financial analyst and I just couldn't stand doing the spreadsheets day in and day out. But what I really liked is the client interaction of, helping them with the benefit cost analysis that I developed and seeing that project come to fruition. So when I moved into the recruiting field, I kind of took that customer interaction love that I had and moved that into the recruiting area, because then I started recruiting for finance and accounting people because I knew that background. I knew what clients were looking for. But let's say you're in an industry, you talked about customer service, but let's say you're in manufacturing. How would somebody, with a manufacturing plant that goes out of business or shuts, let's say in the Midwest, and how do they take their skills and kind of gravitate to the new economy?
Let me give you an example. I had a student, my courses for Pierce College, it's close to 900 students who've gone through the courses in the last three plus years. I had a student early on, he was 60 years old, never written a resume in his life. He'd worked in the printing business, type of manufacturing. He'd worked in the printing business for his whole career. 30 years in the printing business and the last 20 as a supervisor. What do I do now? The company I work for, they closed down. What do I do now? I've never written a resume. I'm 60 years old. Oh my God. I said, well, you know how to, you know, the manufacturing process, number one, and printing is not gone. Number two, you have experience managing people. Now, if we look at the bottom of the SWOT analysis, the opportunities and threats, where's the printing business going? This is like a business. You think like a business. Where's the industry going? It's going to 3D printing. Aha. Take some courses, learn 3D printing. Now you have 30 years in printing, 10 years as a supervisor, and you know how it's going because you know 3D printing. Yes? So now you can offer yourself as the gray hair, because a lot of these 3D printing companies, younger people, and it's like herding cats. They need an adult in the room. You pitch yourself as the adult in the room. And it's like, oh, wow, hadn't thought of this before. One more example, the toughest case I ever had. This was early on when I started teaching. I started the course, one of my courses is a two-day course. I started the course, I talked for an hour and laid it all out and so on. And a guy in the back of the room raises his hand. I said, yes. He said, yeah, I heard what you said. That's really great. And challenged me. He said, let's see if you can help me. Okay. I was a Marine for 5 years, and then I was in prison for 35 years for murder. that was, whoa, okay. So I said, okay, while you were in prison, he talked a little more about himself. He learned a program called AutoCAD, because the prison he was in, they kept expanding and they kept building new buildings. So he became an expert at AutoCAD. I said, here's what you're selling. Now, here's your assets. Okay. You're an expert at AutoCAD and you're a Marine. Once a Marine, always a Marine. Yeah. There's no such thing as an ex-Marine. So who you want to target are Marines who have their own engineering or architecture firms who need a specialist in AutoCAD. They don't care that you were in prison. They may never meet you because there's no office. You're going to do it remotely. They'll send you the files. You'll do the drawings. And he said, you opened something for me I never saw before. So whenever people have a, you know, they tell me I'm a tough case. I say, have you been in prison for 35 years for murder? No? Okay, I can handle it. Okay? So you need to be adaptable, but it's a new way of thinking. I call it a shift in consciousness without the use of drugs. Just a new way to look at things. And that's what I help people to do until they get it. And then they come back to me, you know, every month or so for a little pep talk or a booster shot. But basically, they've developed that sensibility and they're always thinking in terms of what's next? How do I leverage this to move from here to there?
If you're listening to this podcast, chances are you would also enjoy listening to audiobooks while in the car, at the gym, or hanging out at your favorite cafe. Whether you want to wind down in the evening, get motivated in the morning, or learn something new anytime, you can listen across all your devices with the new Audible app. As the largest producer and provider of spoken word entertainment, Audible has genre-bending Audible Originals, binge-worthy audiobooks, and exclusive podcasts to add to your library. Discover the perks of membership and unlock a listen for every moment and never lose your place. Download the Audible app today at www.audibletrial.com/skillsharp for your free 30-day trial. www.audibletrial.com/skillsharp. Until next week, stay sharp.
And we're chatting with Dr. Chaz Austin, career resource specialist and author of 101 Ways to Find Work and Keep Finding Work for the Rest of Your Career. Go ahead, Todd.
That's a great example of being able to take an inventory of your skills and figuring out how to transfer that to a different line of work, different industry, what have you. And I think that's the one thing that you always have to kind of keep at the back of your mind, trying to work on your SWOT analysis.
Yeah, that's a SWOT analysis for businesses. That's something I had to adapt because this makes sense. If you're a business, you need to think in these terms and you need to write it down. And one of the advantages of the SWOT analysis is no emotion, no drama. This is what I can do. This is what I need to do so I can get to the next level. RN, doctorate, what I need a license, I need a certificate. If I want to go here, I have to get that. Real simple. Just, you want to do this badly? You'll do it. You'll figure it out. Okay. If I need to get a job in customer service, it would help if I learned Spanish, because I notice in looking at all the job postings, most of them need someone who's bilingual. I'll learn Spanish. So you learn Spanish. Now that opens up for you. It's not complicated.
I think you bring up an interesting point about the research, and I'm glad you did, because so often people are stuck in defining themselves almost like a snapshot, like a picture, but they don't realize that, you know, they're living, breathing, always evolving. And so, you know, they could see like a trend in job descriptions and say, I want that. And you had said earlier, if you have a passion strong enough, that you're going to go will it to happen anyway. So I wonder, just throwing the question to you in terms of, you know, people having an entrepreneurial mindset and almost running their careers or multiple careers as a business. How does a worker and someone with the primary worker mentality switch and become that entrepreneur that's not only good at what they know, but can become good at the other things that they don't know?
It's a little scary for people. Most people in my courses, they don't want to do this. I just want a job. Okay. Get me a job. Here's my resume. Fix it and get me a job. That's all I'm here for. No, I don't do that. What? So it's like pulling teeth. It really is upsetting for people to have to move from thinking I'm a loyal worker. Yeah. Well, the company doesn't give a damn about you. Sorry. Okay. But I put in all these wonderful years and I worked so hard and I worked when I was sick and yeah, don't let the door hit you in the butt on the way out. So it's very hard for people. That's why it's a training. It takes a long time for people to get into the mindset of I have to operate in an entirely different way. I have to sell. I'm not doing that. You like eating, you like paying your bills, going to have to learn to do this new skill set. And it's upsetting and it takes a while is what I can say. But I do move people into that realm because that's what's necessary for survival. And I, again, like a smartphone, I'm not good with technology. I don't care if you want to, you know. Jerry West, it's one of the quotes in my book. Jerry West, the Los Angeles Lakers, said, if we only worked on the days we felt like it, we wouldn't get much done. Yeah, it's taking your medicine. Let me share a little story. And this is one of my favorite stories. You could say it's real life. I'll clean it up. It's real life in one story. Two little kids, like 10 years old, they're playing outside. And they come upon the door to a large room. And they open the door, and floor to ceiling, the room is filled with poop. And the first kid backs away, holding his nose, saying, oh, that's disgusting. And the second kid starts climbing through the poop. And the first kid says, what are you doing? Second kid says, with all this poop, there's got to be a pony in here someplace.
That's awesome.
The pony is what drives us. And you're willing to get through the poop, whatever it happens to be, in order to get there. And if you want it badly enough, and it has to be... You said something about wanting it badly enough you can make it happen. I want to be a ballerina. I don't think so, dude. Too old. Your body can't handle it anymore. You have no training in classical ballet. Not going to happen. Let's get real. Go study, take a ballet class, but you ain't going to be a ballerina. It's not going to happen. So we got to be sensible about this. Yeah. But if it's something within the realm of possibility, you'll get through the poop to get to the pony.
You'll find the silver lining, or brown lining, as it were.
Yes.
So let's go back to my passion or where I can provide value. I've got my resume. I've got my social media sites together. You know, I'm feeling pretty good about some of the pre-work that I've done. However, Dr. Chaz, I can't find a job, man. So we as recruiters, we know that networking is very, very important. 80% of the jobs filled were more than likely filled by a referral. And That other 80% number, many of the jobs that are available aren't even posted. So what are some of the things that you tell your students or your clients, Dr. Chaz, with respect to taking positive steps towards networking, find what they're looking for?
It's a little more challenging given we're locked down during the pandemic. So it's more and more social media. Now, I use LinkedIn because that's where my audience is. But depending on what field you're in, you choose the mix of social media based on that. So, for example, if you're a graphic designer, LinkedIn probably isn't the place for you. There's a website called Behance.net, Behance.net. That's where graphic designers post their work. Yes, I didn't even know about it until a student of mine who was a graphic designer said, this is where my stuff is. Oh, wow. So I have 31,000 followers on LinkedIn. Oh, boy, I'm the most popular boy in my high school. Yeah. Then you go to Instagram and Katy Perry has 108 million followers because that's where her audience lives, which is preteens, okay, tweeners, little girls. Yeah. So it's social media that will make the difference for you and reaching out to groups who, so you ask to join a group and they go to your, back to your profile, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, whatever it happens to be. And they say, yeah, they're one of us. Yes, this is our tribe. Yeah, they belong here. And they say, yes, you're accepted. You're part of the group. Now you have access to people in the group. And the people in the group have other groups they belong to. You join those groups. And it keeps growing and growing and growing. And these groups, as we know, will post jobs only to the group. I have to explain this to people because they're not used to social media. Yeah. So if I'm a member of a group in education and I have an opening at my college and I have 100,000 people in my group, I'm never going to post that to Indeed or Monster or anywhere else. I'm just going to post it to the group because I know out of 100,000 people, either someone in the group or someone who knows someone in the group will be perfect for the job. That's how you do it. You build the relationships online because you have a common interest and what you're looking at is this is how I can serve you. We need someone who can do X, Y, and Z. Oh, you've done that. Now, a big part of it is personal relationships. Obviously, people hire who they know and trust. That's human nature. Yeah. So they got to know you. Who do you have in common? I have a student I'm talking to at noon today, and she's going for a job in the healthcare industry. At a healthcare organization that my wife, who's a therapist, used to work at. So maybe I can help her. Maybe I can introduce her. Because you're looking at connections to people who have power, people who can open up doors for you, people who it's access rather than sales. Sales is sending out the resume over and over again. Access is someone in power who can say, yes, we want you. Can you start Monday? And you're done. Yeah. So you need to get to the head of the queue. The resumes are, that's like going through the front door and it's clogged. Yeah. Because people aren't reading them. People hire who they know and trust. I've worked that way. That's just how it is. So how can you get through the side door to people who you've met and who know you and trust you and can vouch for you and so on, who will say, yes, we'll give you a shot. That's all I want. I'll show you how good. Just give me a shot. Oh, well, if so-and-so recommended you and I like your background, we're part of the same group, we have this and that in common, we went to the same school, we know the same people, then there's less risk on my part in hiring you. And sure, let's give it a go. Good to go. Okay. It's about, again, it's not about, it's about accomplishment. How quickly can you make things happen? How efficiently can you make things happen? So if I know somebody who's in charge and I can make one phone call, I got a job. I don't pat you on the back for how hard you worked. I pat you on the back for how quickly you got something accomplished that you needed accomplished.
What I draw from that is a very critical point. Networking is important, but how you network and whom you network with is more important than networking in and of itself. In other words, if I can get my message, my resume, my cover letter to a decision maker, in other words, someone who has the authority to create positions and hire people, that's where I want to spend most of my time as opposed to someone who just works for that organization.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
I had a question of, think about your own background, because everyone always falls into HR. Did you get your start in providing this type of career and recruiting, team advice, etc.?
It evolved. I was teaching, college professor, and I was teaching mainly business and communication courses. And I saw a real need here. There was something missing. We were still teaching people in the 20th century. Still, it was all about resumes and cover letters. And that's not enough. That isn't working. That doesn't matter. There's got to be a change in how people are prepared. So my doctoral dissertation and my first book is all about creating a career course training program that's integrated into a college curriculum so that this becomes not a one-off, a one-shot deal, one course. It's something that you have ongoingly that you're trained in while you're in school. So you're simultaneously learning whatever discipline you're getting your degree in, and you're learning how to self-market so that you've got work long before you ever graduate. It's not like, well, I've now got my degree, now I'm going to look for a job. No. And honestly, I targeted colleges because at least they have career centers. But this conversation should start in middle school, because there's a gap between academia and the business world, and people fall into this hole after they graduate. They have no idea how to find work. They have no idea what they want to do. There's no marketing sensibility. There's no sense of the marketplace or anything. So the sooner we do this, the more everyone will benefit. The employers will benefit because the students are better prepared. The parents will relax. I mean, the parents are spending a fortune on an education. It's like, where's the return on investment? What did you teach my kid? They can't even find a job. What did I spend all this money for? So it's something that the students start to own. I've worked with a number of career centers and colleges, and I said, it's not, you're helping them is not enough. There could be 50 career counselors for your student body. It's not enough. You have to train them to take ownership of their careers and think in this way and connect with people early on. You get into, I have one student of mine, she's applied for the PhD program at Stanford University, and she's smart. She's already lobbying the faculty and her fellow students. I said, that's in my second course on LinkedIn about how to keep a job. The job starts the moment that you're accepted. Yeah, that it's developing the relationships with people. So if you train students, high school, middle school, college, whatever, the sooner the better. It's something that is natural for them. This is what I do. It's part of what I do.
That's great.
Yeah, especially now in this remote economy, there's so many different job opportunities that college students are available or afforded to now, because you could work remote. But if you don't have a particular network, let's say in New York, if you're a LA kid, or, in the Midwest, you're trying to get a job down in Florida, LinkedIn groups is a great way to go. You could look up different meetups for like-minded individuals down in that particular area. But is there a way to be more efficient and more effective in looking at remote work situation opportunities?
There is an upside. Hard to say that in the pandemic, which is that geography is kind of breaking down, and it's irrelevant where you are based now, because so much of the work is being done, whether it's customer service or whatever, it's being done remotely. That's how I can now have students in Australia and India, because it doesn't matter. Yeah. So it's looking honestly and objectively, like a business person. Yes. What have I got that people need, and what more do I need to learn? So I find this over and over again. There's a lot of remote work for customer service people, salespeople, etc. Well, I'm not good with computers. Well, it's time to get good with computers. I'm not good with social media. Well, it's time to do that, because that's what's going to get you over the top. Those are the skills that are necessary. That's what you have to do. That's what they're hiring. That's what you have to learn on top of what you already know. I had a student a few months ago. He said, I'm real good on face-to-face selling. Okay. That's really nice when the pandemic's lifted and we're out there. Right now, since you have experience in sales, you've got to get better with computers. You got to get better with social media. This is what they need. Yeah, there was a part of me when we started this, I hated teaching online. I so need the collaboration in a room full of people. Basically, it's a support group is what it comes down to. And people start to network with each other and help each other. People are very generous. So that was taken away. Too bad, dude. You're just going to have to learn to adapt it. So what I do in my courses now is we do weekly group sessions, and then I do individual coaching, one-on-one on Zoom for as often and as long as my students need it, and they take advantage of that. So that's the way it works. So great, we can't pat each other on the shoulder or hug or have coffee. Too bad. You got to be adaptable. I've had to be, and I don't like it. And so what? It's about serving my students, and this is the medium we have, and we make it work. That's all, and they love it. They love it. It's been really valuable and useful. It's really I've managed to shift it rather quickly and pivot, so it works for them. And that's what everybody's got to do right now. So what we need to look at is one of the concepts I talk about, short-term, mid-term, long-term goals. Short-term, I've done customer service. I don't particularly love it, but I can do it. Good. You need to pay the bills. Let's get you a customer service job. At least you can sleep at night and pay the bills. Now, what's next? Okay, now that buys you time to get to the next phase of your career. I have to take some courses. I have to get a degree. Good. That will buy you the time. And then the courses and the degree will get you to the next phase, which is doing what you really need to do or want to do.
Excellent. Virtual high five right there.
That's right. That's right. I'll get one too. So, Dr. Chaz, how can our listeners find out more about your work, get in touch with you, et cetera?
I would say the first stop now. I have my own website, but I've been using LinkedIn more and more just because it's more dynamic. And I can instantly respond. So connect with me on LinkedIn, Dr. Chaz Austin, Chaz Austin, like the capital of Texas. Connect with me on LinkedIn. That's where I post upcoming courses. So if somebody's interested, that's how I found these people. That's how I found you. That's how I found the people in India and Canada and Australia. They contacted me. I sent them instructions on how to register for the courses. Yeah. So they can do that, and then they'll have access to my three courses on LinkedIn Learning and my two books, which they can buy on Amazon. And if they have the money, and some people do, they can pay my hourly rate, and I'll be happy to coach them. I've coached people from all over the world. I had a client a couple of years ago. This shows you how global it's all become. I had a client. He was Italian. He had been educated in the U.S., he was after a job in Kuwait in the oil industry, and he was living in South Africa. And we did a Skype call. Remember Skype? We did a Skype call from L.A., where I live, to South Africa to get him a job in Kuwait. The way I talk to my students, I say, I'm the Burger King teacher. Have it your way. Okay. How do you want to access? You want a book? You want in-person coaching? You want a free course? You want LinkedIn Learning? You learn that way? Whatever, okay? Have it your way. So the first place I would go is connect with me, Dr. Chaz Austin, on LinkedIn, and the information's there, and we can talk.
Excellent, excellent. Dr. Chaz, thank you very, very much for your time. This was an outstanding session. Would certainly like to keep an open invitation for you to visit us again in the future.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
It was
you
a pleasure.
Very, very much.
Great, great questions. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Yes.
Great insight. Thank you so much, Dr. Chaz.
Okay.
So we were speaking with Dr. Chaz Austin, career resource specialist, instructor at Los Angeles Pierce College, and author of the book 101 Ways to Find Work and Keep Finding Work for the Rest of Your Career. Thank you for listening to SkillSharp, the podcast. Send your questions and comments to podcast@skill-sharp.com. You can follow us on Twitter @SkillSharp1 or visit us online at www.skill-sharp.com. This is Mike Daniels signing off for Todd Nakasone, Brian Wright, Alyssa Pruitt, Will Kelso, and the rest of the team at Skill Sharp Studios. Until next time, stay sharp.